Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. We are the Junkies coming to you from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in D.C. area because it works. Visit emp180.com and get empowered. I will tell you, a couple of us lost our appetites during the break.
Sorry.
Cakes walked into the studio. I didn't get it until after. I mean, EB fouled up the studio so bad.
It could make you puke.
Yeah, and I think I walked right in like the worst, absolute worst time.
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, it happens. We're working in close quarters. Sometimes it happens.
All right, should mention on the show later today, Alan May is going to join us, covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. They, of course, won 3-2 last night in L.A. Jesse Docherty from the Washington Post covers the Nationals. He'll join us at 9:20. But joining us right now is our pal Chris Russell, host here on 106.7 The Fan.
Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Morning, fellas. I'm just glad I'm not joining that fray over there.
Yeah, it's probably good.
Chris,
probably better.
You're breathing.
Smells like a bad plate of scrambled eggs.
You're breathing some fresh air.
Like
where
a
you
bad
are.
Plate of it.
Yum.
Hey, Chris, before we dive into what may or may not be happening with the Phillies and other teams, fill us in on the Nationals' offer. Is that still out there, or was that a take it or leave it, and it's not there, the 10-year, $300 million deal that was reported at the end of the season?
Yeah, from everything I understand, that went off the table when free agency started or right around that time. And from everything I've heard and everybody that I've talked to, and, you know, I'm not trying to paint myself as a Nationals beat reporter, and certainly I don't, you know, blow up Mike Rizzo's cell phone or anything like that. You guys have a much tighter relationship with Mike Rizzo. From what I know, Mike Rizzo has moved on, and baseball operations has moved on. And I think if Mike Rizzo had his way, he'd rather, again, move on without Bryce Harper, or the way it's currently constructed, or the way he's currently constructed his roster. So I believe that offer is off the table. Now, do the Nationals still have an ability to get in there and be on the periphery and match something, even though John Heyman yesterday, I believe it was, said that the Nationals are not guaranteed that right? Yeah, I believe absolutely they still have a chance here to, you know, before this thing is signed, sealed, and delivered, to match something, to get in there before, again, it's absolutely done. Sure, I do believe that, because we all know the unique relationship that the Lerners and Boris have carved out. And by the way, it would be embarrassing. I don't know how you guys feel about this. After all the sleeping together these two have done, these two sides have done over the years, it would be embarrassing if the Lerners did not get the opportunity to do a final match here, regardless of how upset Boris was about what Mark said on this radio station a couple of months ago to Grant and Danny. To me, it would be embarrassing.
Yeah, Chris, we just went around the room basically giving predictions as to where Bryce would sign. And I said, look, if the Nats have the last crack at it and 310 is the best that's on the table, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Ted Lerner, you know, goes over Rizzo's head and says, look, I'm going to put $325 or $330 million out there, and we're going to keep this guy as our franchise cornerstone for the next decade.
Yeah, here's the problem. If you believe Jim Bowden, Cakes, if you believe Jim Bowden, and I tend to believe Jim Bowden. I'm not saying I fully believe Jim Bowden. I don't know if I fully believe myself, if I fully believe John Heyman, Jim Bowden, whatever. You know, this information is so weird and hard to come by. He's saying it's more than Giancarlo Stanton, and that means more than 325. And if we're talking more than 325, I don't know. I don't know how they go there. I know Ted Lerner's 92, right?
92 or 93, one of the two, yeah.
I mean, I know they've got more money than they know what to do with, but they hold this ridiculous, in my opinion, staunch we have to adhere to this strict budget, even though we're $5.2 billion, you know, billionaires, and we have more money than we know what to do with. Again, type people, and we could do whatever we want, and we've made all this money, and again, we don't know what to do with all this money because we don't have the Masson deal. Well, look, I get it. I understand they got screwed on the Masson deal. I get it. I understand that. But the bottom line is they could do whatever they want. They just don't ever seem to want to do that. So to me, if Bowden is correct with his latest report last night, it's more than 325. I don't see them going there, especially if, again, Rizzo is pushing, as I believe he is, so hard to close the door and say, guys, you told me to move on. You told us it was a move it or leave it type deal, and they left it, and we moved on, and we built our team. This is going to compromise not only what we want to do the rest of this year, but also in the future years. If we bring this guy back at 310, 315, 320, 330, whatever the final total might turn out to be.
Yeah, you know, I believe the Nats are trying to move on to the point now where even Boswell is throwing out there these sort of addition by subtraction theories, and Nats vets are commenting on it, saying, "Yeah, go ahead, write that." I know reading your tweets or maybe some I don't know, some quotes from you broadcasting over the weekend, you were led to believe though that the Giants were strongly in the mix here, right? And that they may have been able to pull this one out. Are you backing off that a little bit now?
Well, so what happened, just to rewind, so on Thursday night here on our station, I mentioned that I had heard Thursday afternoon that Bryce had finally, you know, had come to a decision on a team that he wanted to kind of go forward with. Bryce and his team, they had been meeting since last Monday in Vegas, and they had been pushing him to make kind of a decision because they were running out of time. So I mentioned that on my show Thursday night. And, you know, they did a big photo shoot. They did a big, little celebration type thing. It was Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day was very important for him. He wanted it done by then for a variety of reasons. So Friday morning on WIP in Philadelphia, our sister station up there, I mentioned that a pure guess for me was that he would go to the Giants, because I still don't think Philadelphia is where he ultimately wanted to go from the standpoint of, I don't think he's a good fit in that culture up there with those fans, that media, and I think Gabe Kapler's a little bit wired tight and a little bit of a lunatic, and I don't know. To me, like, if you're Bryce Harper, you're setting yourself up for a lot of failure. Even if you have some moderate or some good success, even if you win, even if you make the playoffs, if you struggle like you did in the first half of last year here in Philadelphia, you are not going to get treated with the kid gloves that you got treated here in Washington in Philadelphia. So to me, I think Bryce is smart enough to realize that and know that. So that's why I said I guessed, and I made it clear, San Francisco. Now, what we all knew about San Francisco was they weren't going long term, right? What we didn't know was, would they go far, 4, 5, 6 years and go higher average annual value than, say, Zach Greinke, which was the highest AAV of all time, $34 million. If they were willing to do that, I said, well, maybe Bryce can justify that. But if they weren't willing to do that, then I thought he was going to go the longest term deal offer. And right now, that's Philadelphia. So that's why this is so complicated, because when Bryce chose the team that he wanted to go forward with, he, of course, knew what terms he already had at least laid out on the table. And that's why this is taking so long now. That's why we see this process kind of going forward, where Bryce is saying, okay, wait a second, I know what I have, at least, you know, tentatively offered in Philadelphia. That's what I want. Now I'm trying to see what else I can get. Now I'm trying to see how much more I can get out of this process.
Where do you think we are in terms of time frame? It felt like it was heating up this weekend, like culminating in maybe something happening today, tomorrow, very, very soon.
Yeah, and you know, initially I was told it would probably wrap up within a couple of days, meaning I was led to believe, you know, like early this week, and then as of yesterday I just heard not yet. You know, but then I know again, Bowden said, and Bowden really on Saturday morning said they were rounding third, heading to home with Philadelphia, and Heyman and Nightingale all said, you know, Philadelphia clear front runner, blah blah blah. You know, should be final, you know, heating up, intensifying all this stuff. And again, Philadelphia was the team they chose to go forward with, but. You know, out of the team that they chose first to kind of move forward with. So if we are to believe all of this, right, and put these puzzle pieces together, you know, it likely should be done by the end of this week. But here's what I would always caution everyone with. You guys just went through your whole situation, right? Y'all know that it takes some time for lawyers on both sides to go through everything. And here's the one thing that we always forget. People, you know, get impatient with this. Scott Boras is a master manipulator. He is trying and desperately trying to work every avenue. He is trying to screw the system. He's trying to screw the Nationals. He's trying to work over the Phillies. And he better damn well be careful, because remember, they have an interest in Mike Trout, and I don't know if they could eventually add Bryce Harper now and Mike Trout in 2 years. And he is trying to screw over the Giants and the Padres. The Padres are kind of trying to get Machado. They're trying to get Harper. So just be careful if you're Scott Boras by playing this waiting game and trying to hold out for every last damn dollar, is what I would say. Just be careful, because, you know, other teams are going to close the door and get impatient while you try and sucker out every last damn dollar. I would get a deal done and get my guy into camp, because, you know, again, teams are getting largely impatient and they might decide, you know what, we've had enough of your games, like the Nationals apparently have.
If I were Bryce, I'd want to get in camp pretty damn soon too.
He does, Jason, and that's the weird thing.
Well,
you know, like he wanted this done by.
He's got the power. He can say, Scott, I know this is where I want to play. Get me signed. I want to be in camp tomorrow.
One thing I heard last week was they were actually imploring him, meaning his people were imploring him to kind of step up and make a decision, and that's what I think led to the Valentine's Day, you know, kind of like, all right, let's kind of move forward with Philadelphia. Now, I had heard that Philadelphia hadn't made a concrete 100% formal, whatever that means. I there's no way that they hadn't made some sort of kind of like mention, verbal, tentative, whatever. I don't know how these things work legally, offer before this, but that they hadn't made a full 100% written offer or whatever the process is until Friday. So maybe that's why this is taking as long as it is. They've got to work out all the different clauses and all the different perks and whatever. So maybe it's just, again, going to take a couple more days here to get it. And I wouldn't, if I'm Bryce, I want to get there. I want to meet my new teammates. I know a bunch of these guys. We know he's buddies with Rhys Hoskins, if anybody paid attention to that Instagram post. I don't think it's as big of a deal right now, but here's what you do not want to do if you're Bryce Harper. You do not want to go to a new team and show up March 5th or later than that, or somewhere around that time, right? Let's just use an arbitrary. You do not want to show up into a locker room as a $300+ million guy, because already guys are going to be envious and probably a little bit jelly about that. And then on top of that, you're going to be like, you know, what's up, fellas? You know, and then try and work your way into the fabric of that locker. Get out of here. Like, that's not going to work, because you're a little bit cocky. You're a little bit arrogant if you're Bryce Harper. And now you have to work your way into the fabric of that clubhouse and get yourself into baseball shape. And oh, by the way, as we all know, Major League Baseball starts late March. You don't have until the first week of April anymore to work yourself into shape. And if you're going to Philadelphia, you damn well better get off to an early start. And oh, by the way, Philadelphia's here, the second series of the year, fellas. Could you imagine that'll what that's going to be like at Nationals Park?
Oh, it's must-see TV is what it is.
So before we let you go, let's put your prediction out there. Where do you think he signs, and when do you think it happens?
Ultimately, I think Philadelphia is offering the most amount of money, and it looked and security. I don't know about the opt-outs and all that stuff, which I think were very important to him, which is what I think ultimately distinguished between all these offers. So ultimately, I will say the Phillies looks like everyone else around the baseball world, who I would trust, you know, just as much. I would say the Phillies. I don't think that's in his heart to go there necessarily. I think that's his baseball acumen and sense and dollars and all that stuff. Business. I think it's more of a business decision than a heart decision, if that makes sense.
Right. And then when do you think it'll happen? Today? Tomorrow? What do you
think? I think officially by, let's call it, because of all this lawyer crap and because of Boris, Friday, let's call it.
By Friday. All right.
We'll see.
All right.
And I know that the players like to stay away from the deferred contracts. You know, they want to get all their money in
right.
up front. But
yeah, that's another part of this.
It is. But, I mean, if the Nats offered him the $300 million and it was deferred, okay, so they pay him over 20 years. You're making $15 million
right.
over 20 years rather than the $30 million over 10. You're still making $15 million.
Listen,
Max Scherzer's making,
right?
Yeah, I would take a deferred contract.
You can't live off of $15 million? That tells me he really didn't want to be here.
Even if it's deferred with no interest, which is the Scherzer-Strasburg structure, right? Not the Bobby Bonilla New York Mets stock. I would do all of that as long as you're going to get that money or your family's going to get that money, even if you kick the bucket, right? I would do that. Absolutely, I would do that. Now, I don't know if Scott Boras wants to do that, but Scott Boras has done that, again, with the Nationals. The problem is that's, you know, Bryce Harper at 26 wants his cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if he really wanted to be here, he would have taken that deal. Because you're still getting the $300 million, you're just getting over it a longer period of time.
Yeah, I think they were a little bit annoyed with the way the Nationals handled the process at the outset, quite honestly.
Hmm. Well, we'll see what happens.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate
Thank you,
it, buddy.
Thanks, Rooster.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. All right, see you, man.
The saga continues.
We really
Bryce
don't know.
Harper unsigned.
We really don't know any more than we did a week ago,
we know
2 weeks
nothing.
Ago.
I think we know, though, the Nats aren't that into him.
I think we've known that for a long time. Starting to bash him.
Mike Rizzo said he's perfectly satisfied with what he has right now.
Yeah, only wants to talk about current Nats players.
We'll never say never, but he's.
Do you think that they offered him that original deal and made it deferred, knowing he wasn't going to accept it?
Probably.
Possibly.
Yes.
What if he would have said, "All right, I really like these"?
Then they would have been all right with it.
Right.
They would have been all right with
it. Yeah. Then they got an entire offseason to plan on what they're going to do.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I guess they knew he wouldn't accept the deferred.
They actually did Boris a solid by making that offer.
I'm looking at Max's deal. Deferred money doesn't look so bad when you start getting $15 million in 2022 and get it all the way through 2028.
That seems like a pretty good deal.
When he's at home chilling, playing golf every day, he's going to get $15
million. That seems like a good deal.
It's a great deal.
Phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Remember, Alan May is going to join us from NBC Sports Washington at 820 as we talk about the Capitals in the midst of their six-game road trip.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk some puck coming up at 8:20. Caps 2-2 on their road trip with two games left.
Toronto and Buffalo.
Up and down, but this is kind of on track with what they needed to do, right? Go 500 on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like 4-2, but 3-3 would be acceptable.
3-3 on a road is always a good road trip.
Are they still committing stupid penalties in this road trip?
They still commit a lot of penalties.
Yeah,
yes.
Still always just living in the box.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll talk to Alan May about the Caps coming up at 8:20. Jesse Dougherty is going to join us in the Washington Post. He covers the Nationals beat writer for the Post at 9:20. So we can get into what they're actually doing in spring training beyond speculating about Bryce Harper. Speaking of speculation, I heard Adam and Drab and Valdez speculating about True Detective about an hour ago, and Awad thought he came up with the theory that I had heard before, too.
Okay.
That Julie, who was the missing child who they determined is still alive because 10 years later she called, is the interviewer.
Yeah, we've
heard
that.
Have you heard that theory?
Never.
I don't buy it for a second.
Weeks ago.
I don't buy that for a second. Like, what would be the motivation of a missing child to all of a sudden do a documentary on herself and sit down with
the dumbest
detective.
Theories I've ever heard. Now, I don't go down the wormhole. I don't go on Reddit.
Is that what they're saying on Reddit?
Who knows?
Well, that's just one of those theories. There. It's one of a billion theories.
Like, that's
going to
be the twist.
Weeks.
Like, oh, my God, that's her.
Yeah. I would bet against it. But
I find that preposterous that would be.
I think there would be outlash or a lot of backlash.
Outrage. Outlash. I like it. I like it. I like the
outlash
combo.
If that happened. The whole thing's already set up.
Yeah, they basically laid it all out.
There's no mystery, really.
Hoyt has a pink room in his house. The mom was involved, either sold her or whatever.
Seems that way.
And we also know, because we kept hearing Roland and Wayne, or Roland tell Wayne, what we did.
Now we know.
Don't dig up the past.
Yeah.
Well, now we know. Because they pummeled Harrison James.
Yeah.
Although you can make the argument justified. Now, you can't justify them pummeling him and beating him and tying him up the way
or
they did.
Or stopping him.
I mean, if they want to extract information, I mean, that's just one way of doing it.
Right.
It's a certain methodology.
Right. Yeah,
it's unorthodox.
Well, there's only one
There's only one episode left, so we'll find out Sunday.
I feel like people are going to be let down because there was all this buildup for the first 4 or 5 weeks of all these theories, and as it's kind of exposing itself for what it is, it's not going to be
unfolding slowly.
Yeah, it's not going to be like this big dramatic aha moment.
Well, there really wasn't one in season one, right?
I can't even remember season one. I just
Lawnmower Man. That's all I really remember.
I really don't remember it.
The big hug.
Yeah, the big hug at the end.
The big hug mug.
Yeah. That was my big theory. Yeah. Hey, about...
They did sprinkle in, like, for just a minute or two, like a reference to Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson there. Trying to tie season one into season three.
What about the theory that Julie is Hoyt's biological daughter?
That's possible.
Could be.
That Hoyt was banging Lucy?
Yes, yeah. Lucy.
Could be.
And then he bought his child from her, which gave her the seed money to go out to Vegas.
Could be.
Well, they did tie up some loose ends. Like, they showed you why the investigation in 1990 ended. I mean, both of them. 1980 ended because they pinned it on...
Woodard.
Right.
A go-kart man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And 90, and they pinned it on the dad.
On the dad. Right.
Who what? Somebody killed, right? He didn't kill himself.
Oh, he definitely
Harrison
did.
James
definitely was killed.
Harrison James killed him.
Yeah, that's why Harrison
which,
James
Which one's
his,
Harrison James?
The detective.
He was the security
guy. The guy that took out to the barn.
Right.
Yeah, the chief security officer.
They pummeled him.
But how did Hoyt know, because at the end of the episode, how did Hoyt know?
Who knows?
What went down?
He knows what happened at the bar.
Right.
He definitely
find out.
Knows. I don't know how he knows.
What are the chances you'd get into that car knowing that it was Hoyt and his security team?
It's a dicey move by Mahershala.
Well, I think you have to protect your family. Otherwise, your family's cooked.
Yeah, because he's basically saying, you can either come out here or we're coming in. And he's like, you know what? I'll come outside.
Hope he had his piece on him.
Well, I'm guessing he did.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next week.
Does it make you sad that there's only one episode
left? Kind of sad. Yes.
Really?
No, because there'll be something else we want to watch in the next couple weeks. Something else will come out.
I was disappointed that I didn't. I wanted to get to the bottom of the pink room stuff, like the end of episode 6.
We'll find out next week what the pink room's all about.
Yeah, did you see the scenes from next week?
Yeah, yes.
I'm not sure I did. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's Mahershala Ali and Roland.
Yeah, as two old geezers kind of going through. they look like they're getting ready to go into the pink room.
I don't like the old geezer aspect
you
of
don't?
It.
You don't? You don't like the 2015, that
version?
I don't
like the 2015 part. Because Mahershala Ali's all over the place. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't remember anything. It gets on my nerves.
He's like, write this down.
Yeah,
I'll forget.
Kind of gets on my nerves.
I like the 90. I like the 90 version.
You like the 90s version?
Yeah.
Okay.
Better than the 80s.
He likes the 90s because they do vigilante justice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're badass.
That's the only reason why you don't like it, that they're just old and slow and forget.
It's just a lot. Like, they're back and forth. Their dialogue just bores me.
Grabby, now are you
I think
off?
That's, like, one of the best parts is the old person dialogue.
Are you off your theory that Stephen Dorff was involved now?
It's not looking that way, but yeah. It did say in the finale, or the preview, it says, Purple Haze says to him, "What the hell were you doing?" He says that, I think, to Roland.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely he's not involved. I mean, that was a...
It was a grass.
It's a Hail Mary.
Just like everyone else has been wrong this entire way. Mm-hmm. Shooting for attention dollars early.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really good show. I am a little bit sad because I don't know that there's a show that, that I'm into now. I watch Walking Dead. It's not that good.
Walking Dead was a big whiff for
you know what
me
it misses?
On Sunday.
Mrs. Rick.
Yeah, that's true.
Guess what happens when you lose a main character?
No, you need more Negan. Negan wasn't in it.
More Negan.
Negan wasn't in at all in this latest episode. You need Negan in every episode. I mean, how many different times are they going to show what happened to the little girl, you know, back in whatever year that was?
When are they going to bring Ozark back? I got into that one. That's been my favorite so far.
What about Homeland? Kind of snoozing on
that. That always comes out. Yeah, actually, it's usually around this time.
Yeah, but I think it's been pushed later into 2019. But you're right. It's usually around.
Is that a Showtime show?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not a Showtime guy.
That should be coming up pretty soon.
I don't think Homeland's coming up that soon because they still have to run Billions. So they'll run that for like 10 weeks or 13 weeks.
No, they can't run them at the same time?
No. They don't do that.
I've been watching The Punisher. I'm all in on The Punisher. Although, I don't know how many injuries
a
guy's
got. Is The Punisher a superhero? He's not. He's
no.
a real person.
It's Jason Bourne meets Rambo.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Did you finish the Ted Bundy doc? That's all done?
Oh, I finished that weeks ago.
It's all done.
Dunsky. Yeah. Well, it was only 4 episodes.
Right. You could do that in a day.
I basically did.
Yeah.
Homeland not coming out until June.
Ah.
Got to wait a few more months.
All right, fellas. Well, what do NBA champ Quinn Cook, Jaren Jackson, former Maryland great Melo Trimble all have in common?
They all pound the rock.
They all do that. They all also attended Coach Wooten's basketball camp.
Ah.
At Coach Wooten's basketball camp, their goal is for campers to love hoops, love it more by instilling confidence, teaching the game, and having fun. They teach all day, every day, 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ with competitions, contests, guest speakers, and 3 games per day. Instructions the difference at Coach Wooten's basketball camp. You can register today at CoachWooten.com with 2 O's and 2 T's. That's CoachWooten.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, we're always working angles on the show.
It's kind of our specialty.
It is our specialty.
Yeah, it's one of the things, few things we're really good at.
This is just a grasper.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing my NBC Sports Washington pullover.
Mm-hmm. That's a quarter zip. It's
whatever
not a pullover.
Whatever you call it.
It's a quarter zip.
Yeah, but you still have to pull it over your head.
Yeah, but it's technically not a pullover. It's just a quarter zip.
I'm with you. I call them pullovers.
You could call that a pullover. It is a quarter zip.
Right.
But you could
this is a quarter zip as well.
The technical term is that's
okay.
A quarter zip.
I apologize.
This is a hoodie. Quarter zip.
So a pullover.
Full zip.
What is a pullover?
Full zip. Yep.
A pullover is something probably without a zipper, I would guess.
Pullover would be, would it be like a V-neck jacket
or,
like that?
Or
like a Nike pullover.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get into the minutiae, into the weeds.
I think that could be considered a pullover.
Oh, no, this is a hoodie.
Yeah, but it could also be considered a pullover.
Sweatshirt and or hoodie, not a pullover. It's just not.
Pullover would also be just like Jason's, but without
anything,
a zipper.
Anything you put over your head's a pullover.
I don't know.
What? How is it not?
I'm not sure that would
that doesn't make any sense.
I think you're right.
Anyway.
Larger point is, we used to have a guy who hooked us with this stuff.
Right.
And this stuff's starting to look faded and old.
Oh, yeah. Might need an upgrade.
What do you mean?
Might...
The NBC Sports Washington stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm wearing mine today, so I'm taking off my jacket.
I mean, been wearing it for a while. Yeah. Probably well over a year.
Need some new gear.
Do you think
gear.
They get new gear all the time? Or
I
just
do.
When they had the name change?
Well, they can
Good
order
question.
It. They can order it just for the junks.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we're on every day, 4 hours a day.
Right.
Used to be more. I don't know what happened to like, best of. Well, I guess they just nuked the
as
best
long
of.
As, it's, as long as it's Under Armour. If they send us any of the NBC Sports Washington that's made by, I think it's Tech Gear or Sports
right.
Tech.
Are you out on that?
Well, it's trash. I would take it and I would throw it right into
Why?
The trash can.
Why is it
because
trash?
Because it's the cheapest quality that I've ever seen. Because they gave us a few polos back in the day made by that company, and they couldn't have frayed any quicker or looked cheap and just falling apart. They were terrible. I think they've learned their lesson, though. They realized, well, this is garbage. We got to go with Under Armour or something, you know, of that ilk or
so,
better.
So the bottom line is you're asking for new gear.
You want, I, wouldn't, you want, I wouldn't hate it, right. A new shipment. I just, like, I'm wearing this. But it's, you know,
I'm
you
sick
get,
of seeing you wear that. That's
yeah,
true.
You, know
you
mean?
Wear
like
it a
you
lot.
Say,
I am sick of seeing you wear
you
that.
You see certain things, they're like, eh, all right, I'll put it on.
Right.
You're sick of your wardrobe, but you want someone to give you more free clothes.
Correct.
All right. Yeah. That makes sense.
And then that will wind up in a Goodwill bag.
Makes sense.
Probably so. Yeah, most likely.
It'll move on.
I like this jacket. This is now. This is Jason said. This is a.
That's a full. That's a
full
jacket.
Zip.
Yeah. That
full
is a jacket,
zip, not a pullover.
It is not a pullover.
Right. Is that a fleece?
I think this would be considered a fleece, Cakes.
Yeah, I didn't realize Cakes is like the yeah. the term.
It's a fleece.
Nazi.
It's a very
wardrobe
thin fleece.
It's a fleece.
Yeah, it barely sneaks in as a fleece.
It's a fleece.
I think it would be a fleece.
Fleece, I would think a little fuzzier and warmer, but that's kind of it's around
no,
the
this
borderline.
Is very warm.
So, bottom line is, we need a box full of some new gear yes. from NBC
well,
Sports.
Well, I think
Washington.
If you tell Brian Potter, he can take care of it.
It would be welcomed. That's all I'm saying. Not
yeah.
demanding,
absolutely,
but it'd
yeah.
certainly be welcomed. And then, boom, we pimp your product.
Sure.
Always looking
Simple
for some new stuff to wear.
All right, so let's kick around. Let's kick around this
the skins.
The skins issue here.
All right,
we touched on it a little bit earlier. I don't know if anybody else was intrigued by the story. Is anybody surprised?
I'm not.
I will say I was surprised that the Redskins were the supposed second team that were kind of pushing the Flacco things along. They had interest in bringing
Somewhat
him here.
Somewhat surprised.
And this, so that the Broncos, they didn't want to mess around. They said to get the deal
and we
done.
We had this debate last week and maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm not surprised because I don't believe that Jay, Bruce, and Dan really want to go into next year with Colt McCoy as their starter.
I don't think they want to either, but I don't think they have a choice.
Well, I know you're talking about the financials. I don't know how they'd work the financials out. Who knows? You'd have to open up the book for us. But I would figure they could probably maneuver some contracts around where they could fit a smaller contract in.
You could, but you're just going to just open up bigger holes on an already a Swiss cheese roster.
It is very telling to me, though, from the Gruden front, desperate to get an upgrade over Colt McCoy because he knows with Colt, they're a 6-win team at yeah. best, and he's out.
And his job is on the line.
Right.
He knows this is do-or-die time, and he has a better chance of winning. Even though Joe Flacco's not great, he's an upgrade over Colt McCoy.
Oh,
he just is.
Close.
If you believe that they were a serious contender for Joe Flacco. If it was a show and tell, pacify the fans, we'll say we're in it, but we're not really in it. We'll talk to a team, but we're not willing to make a trade.
I don't think they're savvy
picks.
Enough to do that. I
Maybe
don't think
not.
They're savvy enough or care enough about the fans. I think if they were,
well,
in fact,
I think
the
they
team,
want fans to come to the games.
Yeah, but they don't cater to the fans at all. They just
yeah,
do what they do.
They
and
do
they
their
think
own
they
thing.
Assume the fans are going to come, even still. With nobody showing up, they just
well,
assume
maybe,
they're
maybe
come.
They
not.
May assume that, but I think after seeing especially that Eagles game at the end of the year, that should have been a wake up call. I'm not sure it was.
We've seen
well,
that
not
for
even
years.
The Eagles game. The attendance was down 19% this
right.
year.
Yeah,
that's a big hit. Now these owners make so much money off the TV money that they can buy $100 million yachts and they're going to be fine. But still, when you're down 19% in attendance, mm-hmm. and then who knows what that means in terms of all of the revenue that comes from that, the alcohol sold, the food sold, the jersey
yeah,
sales.
It's a hit.
I mean,
it's
they're
hit.
Losing a lot of money
yeah.
because there's just not the interest.
I think there are a bunch of factors, but the number one factor is they realize that they cannot win a division or go to the playoffs with Colt McCoy
right.
for 16 games.
Here's what I would throw out to the
and
callers.
I like Colt. Colt's a great dude.
I like him too, but
he's just limited.
He's a backup.
He's limited, yeah.
He's like one of your better backups in the league. He shouldn't be starting 16
games. And he's injury
games.
Prone. It's proven out.
Right.
He's an injury waiting to happen. But does this excite you as a Redskins fan? That the Redskins are at least trying to do something. 800-636-1067. To me,
exciting
that's
a huge
strong signal.
Word, Joe Flacco, I'm sorry, at this point in his career, he's not exciting.
Well, no,
it's an upgrade.
Well, they're not
getting what you have.
Okay, but they're not getting Joe Flacco. But my point is, they're in the mix. They're not just saying, they're not resting on their laurels
right.
saying,
well, if they
it's
were,
Colt.
If they were in fact going after Flacco, that puts everybody else out yeah. there on the table.
Right,
that
I think everybody's in play.
That puts Foles out there on yeah. the table.
I would think so. So yeah. that's what I'm saying. Is that what you think as a Redskins fan? 800-636-1067.
They're at least exploring. Right?
That's what it seems to be.
They're at least exploring the veterans that are out there, whether it's Bridgewater or Foles or, you know, if Tannehill gets cut
and
or whatever.
They probably looked at that salary cap and figured, okay, if we're able to bring in somebody like this, we'll whack Josh Norman, we'll move on from Zach Brown,
I think
we'll do whatever.
Figure that part out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They will, but you're going to, it's just going to take a hit.
It's a big commitment.
You can't invest that much in one position, especially one player. You know, essentially, it's like.
Yeah, but it is the most important position. So if you want to compete, and they think they're close, or at least they say we're close. We don't know what they're close to.
That's craziness, but
they may think if they have
the
right quarterback in there.
They're close to.
No, but they might be looking at, hey, if we get to somebody like Joe Flacco or Nick Foles, comparable to an Alex Smith. We were 6-3 with Alex Smith. We were on the path to the playoffs. So let's go all in, do that. It's the most important position, even if that means we're going to cut a middle linebacker, we're going to cut a cornerback, we're going to cut one of our defensive linemen, we're not going to re-sign Preston Smith.
Yeah, let's go all in and try to go 8-8 or 7-9.
Yeah, but that's what they do. To me, that's what it was a signal for.
Who knows?
They are going to do everything in their power to try and get to that 9-7.
Or they may just draft a guy at 15.
I think they'll do both.
Whether it's Locke or Jones or if Kyler's available.
Well, no matter who they sign, they have to draft someone.
I would think so.
Yeah, you have to have a young quarterback in the pipeline.
But they may not draft someone at 15.
Well, to me, that's
you know
a way.
What I mean?
If you're not drafting a first-round guy, don't sell me the bill of goods. Well, we love this guy in the third round because those guys generally don't work out.
But hold on. They may really love Kyler and Locke, and then if those two guys are gone, I don't think they're going to reach for Daniel Jones if they really don't like him.
And I don't have
him.
A problem with that.
If they really don't like him.
If they're not in love with the guy, whoever's at 15, and you can get a better player at a different position, I'm fine with that plan because, let's be honest, this team is not qualifying for the playoffs. We're going to be sniffing the playoffs no matter who's a quarterback.
Right, right.
It's not a one-year fix. I don't think.
800-636-1067. What did the Joe Flacco non-news, because ultimately he gets traded to the Broncos, signal to you? Let's go to the phones.
All right. Let's go to Ron in Hagerstown. Ron, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ron.
Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Fan from back in the day. Just been thinking over the weekend about Kaepernick. I mean, I know it's horrible and everything else, but if you think about it, if he's all about opportunity and not about the money, that's what the Redskins have. They have no money, but they have the opportunity. What better way to kind of make them look a little bit better, bring him in, have Doug Williams taken from the start. Bruce and Dan, don't even show your face. Don't say a word. It's all Doug Williams.
I think it would bring be a great in. PR move. I still don't think it's a marriage that could work.
No, I'm talking 1 year. I mean, next year is a giveaway year anyway.
Yeah,
right?
But what are the Redskins going to do when he continues to kneel and they're so publicly against that?
I'm saying bring Doug Williams in. Bring Doug Williams in from the start. Bring him in. Maybe learn the kid a little bit from the past, from history. Maybe even work with him, tweak his message so that more of America likes his message.
I don't
instead
think
of
Kaepernick.
The country.
I don't think Kaepernick would play for a small deal. I mean, he wanted a bunch of money to play in the Alliance League.
Well, I could maybe.
I don't
say,
think he's going to take the minimum to play in the NFL.
Well, I could see him saying, "Look, you're going to have to pay me $20 million to play in that doo doo league."
Mm-hmm.
But,
I risk my future in the NFL.
Although he did just make a bunch of money in that settlement.
Oh yeah.
Although that's under debate now. People are now saying it's not necessarily as big as they thought. So who knows?
I bet you it's in the 10 to 15 million range.
Oh, okay.
I bet over.
I would bet that, but
yeah. I mean, that's a ton of money for a guy who's
saying
just sitting
60
at home.
Or 80 million initially.
Oh,
I don't think
it was that much.
I think it might be 60-80 split.
Maybe. Either way, it's pure speculation. You're just pulling numbers out of it. I just don't think it's a marriage that would work politically.
Yeah, I think you're sooner going to see a Martian playing quarterback for the Redskins than Colin Kaepernick.
It doesn't mean Cap deserves an opportunity. I would love to see a team give him an opportunity. And if it was the Redskins, it'd be fine. I'd have no problem with it. It'd be a good PR move for them. I just don't see it happening.
But again, I do think it's a signal. The fact that they were, if you buy into it, involved in the Flacco discussion.
That means everything's on the table.
That they're signaling we're not satisfied with Colt McCoy being our week one starter, which should satisfy the fans to an extent. Because if you're satisfied with Colt McCoy as your week one starter,
well, no
you
one
know
is.
Another down
well,
year.
No one is satisfied with Colt. They just know that they're doomed, that they had the worst injury to the worst player. You know, in other words, the player they could least afford to suffer a catastrophic injury happened to, and so they're just doomed at that position. That's the way I look at it. You're not happy with Colt.
But I don't think
they're just doomed.
But I don't think they're going to go
doomed though. If you do maneuver things,
I think they're going to still try.
You pick up a Flacco type or Foles type.
I think they're still going to try.
Then you can be as successful as you were last year.
Show me a team, and I don't even know what percentage of the cap it is. But show me a team that has an equal percentage where they're giving $60 million to their quarterbacks.
Equal percentage you can't, but last year the Eagles had a lot of money committed to the quarterback with Foles and Wentz.
There probably isn't one. There's probably no example.
It's but I don't ever think the been Reds, anywhere close
but
to
I don't
this.
Think the Redskins would say, we're screwed. All right, we're just giving up for the next 3 years until Alex is
Not
off the books.
Not that you're giving up. It's just that you have to draft somebody or go inexpensive.
Like you said, they probably will, but they might be able to maneuver something for the next 2 years where they can at least compete with an upgrade over Colt.
All right, let's go to Brendan in Richmond real quick. Brendan, what's up?
I'm not that down on Colt McCoy. Everybody is so down on this roster, and for the last 2 years, they've had historic injuries. If you give McCoy weapons, look at Dallas. Look what happened with Dallas once they got Cooper and actually had a legitimate weapon to give to Dak. So if you figure out a way to get out of the Josh Norman contract that has been terrible for the last couple of years and put that money into weapons, actually have a year with, knock on wood, a limited amount of injuries, go get a left guard. I think McCoy, I'd like to see what he could do for a year.
Yeah.
I think we're too hard on quarterbacks with limited weapons and a bunch of injuries, especially the offensive line in the last 2 years.
Well, right. What do you think is the ceiling for Colt McCoy, honestly?
Yeah, how many wins
you've
can
seen
he produce?
You've seen him play enough. What do you think the
What's
ceiling is?
What's the ceiling for Dak? I mean, come on.
Dak's
you
better
than Colt.
You know
what Dak has? He has an offensive line. He has Elliott. He has Cooper. And they haven't had historic injuries. And guess what? Before we had Alex Smith go out, we were two games above them.
Yeah, but
if we would have made the Cooper trade and not traded for Clinton Dix,
right.
If we would have done that trade and didn't have an injury to Alex Smith, we would have been the team winning the division.
The difference
maybe,
is
but
Dak at least can suit up and play.
Right. We're not
you understand
talk,
that?
We're not
no,
talk,
but you're we're right. Not- you're right. So I don't know how to predict injuries in the NFL. It's the most frustrating part about being a fan of that sport.
Well, I can
and
predict
that
them
team.
For Colt. Because Dak has started 16 games all 3 years he's been in the league. Hasn't missed a game. Colt hasn't started more than 13 since his second year in the league.
Every time he gets an opportunity to start, somehow he gets hurt.
In fact, physically impossible since for 2011, the most games he started is 4 in one
how many
season.
Years, how many years has he been in the league now?
He's
is
been
it
in
seven?
Since 2010. He's been 1, 2,
oh, so
3,
it's nine.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah. I'm sorry, people. I mean, you kind of know what you got with Colt. Even beyond the injuries, you know what you got with him. I don't think his ceiling is what Dak Prescott's ceiling is. I think they're a little different.
800-636-1067. We are the Junkies. Coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.